Queen Kwong auf Flux FM mit Get a Witness. Das ist der Titeltrack des Albums der Band aus L.A. beziehungsweise mittlerweile Detroit. Heute Abend spielt man im Musik und Frieden und stellt dort nochmal die LP vor, die eben Get a Witness heißt. Jetzt ist die Band aber erstmal bei mir im Studio und wir quatschen über ihre Aufnahmen zur Platte. Sorry, dass jetzt eben die Musik nochmal losging, die musste ich wieder abstoppen. Wir quatschen über die Aufnahmen zur Platte. Wir quatschen über Joe Cardamon von The Icarus Line, der mit im Studio war. Wir sprechen aber auch über ihre All-Star-Live-Band, der Wes Borland auch angehört, von Limp Bizkit, außerdem Fred Zeppelin von Marilyn Manson und Hayden Scott, der auch bei Evil Nation spielt. Und das alles und noch viel mehr wird jetzt besprochen hier bei Flux FM. There's so many topics that we could talk so about, many. Guys. How are you doing? First of all, welcome
absolutely
to Flux FM.
Great.
Thank you. Thanks
so
for
nice
having
to be
us
here.
Yeah, it's a nice little studio that we have, yeah, right? So, where are you coming from today? Did you play a show yesterday?
We played in Hamburg last night.
Okay, cool. How was that?
It was great.
Cool. Sounds good to me. And how's touring been so far? I mean, you guys are well experienced motherfuckers, I just wanted to say.
Well, this is the first European tour, yeah, that we've done together. So that's exciting. We're cool. Only a few shows in. We have a lot more to go.
Yeah, but you've played London and Paris a few years ago already, right? But
that was as a solo artist. I played London and Paris in like 2012.
Ah, okay.
It was a three piece. It was crazy, actually. That was great. But with this lineup, yeah, this is the first time we've done it together.
Yeah, it sounds good to me. I'm totally.
We're so new.
Yeah. But at the same time, a well experienced crew, right?
Yes.
Because all of you guys have made experiences with other bands. Mm. You're not like the crew that goes on tour for the first time and be like, oh, this is very exciting. This
no,
is
they're
London.
Totally jaded.
Well, yeah, we've been on tour too much, so.
But still, you seem motivated and you seem to have a little
absolutely
fun. Cool, cool, cool. Congratulations on your debut LP once again, Get a Witness. Is the title for the recording production of the LP. You've worked with Joe Cardamon, mm-hmm, from the Icarus Line.
That's true.
How did that come up? What was the reason for you to choose him as a partner of crime? Because you seem to know many talented musicians. Why was it Joe that you wanted to work with?
Well, that's a good question. I've known Joe for a long, long time, about 10 years, and I've worked with many, many, many people, big names, big studios and big producers. And Joe has been pretty much one of the, well, actually probably the only person I've ever worked with in the studio where I actually liked the results.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a good reason.
Yeah. So that's my reason. I wasted a lot of time working with famous big names and I never got results I liked.
So those results were not put out, have not been
no,
put out? Okay.
Never,
wow. Interesting.
Never.
So you try because I.
So I that's why it took so long, yeah, for a debut LP.
Yeah. Yeah. I was asking myself, mm-hmm, what takes her so, yeah, long? There's so many.
Yeah. I mean, we wrote and recorded the record, you know, a song a day. So it only took about 10 days altogether,
yeah,
2 weeks altogether to finish everything. So it wasn't because I couldn't write songs that it took so long. It just, like, the recording process was really difficult for me with other people.
Uh-huh.
And with Joe, we don't really get along outside of the studio, but we seem to be on the same page inside of the studio.
That's super interesting, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a battle.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean,
struggle.
But I mean, not pre-writing material before you enter a studio nowadays. Well, because studios are still expensive, but as a musician, you don't get as much money, yeah, yeah, back, you know, while touring or selling CDs. So not pre-writing stuff before entering the studio, that's a pretty ballsy move, I guess.
Yeah. It was a little bit of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
it was an experience, but it also put pressure on.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think
just,
it has an effect on the material that we listen to now, because when being in the studio in front of a mic with no pre-written material, there's a lot of subconscious stuff coming out of your system.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, all the lyrics, I think, just, you know, I freestyled all the lyrics. I did about 2 vocal takes, you know, of most of the songs. And the first vocal take was just me kind of mumbling and like jibber jabber.
Yeah.
And a lot of things weren't even words. And then the second time, I really started to have words and lyrics form.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it came just came out of me.
Yeah. And yeah. Would you want to do that again? Or was it
definitely
too chaotic for you then in the end of the day?
I definitely want to do it again, but I want to take more time and actually, like, I want to write that way, but then record in a more.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I'd love to record with the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be great to write that way and then play some shows, you know, do a little tour, whatever, rehearse with the band and like get to know the songs and then go back and record them, you know, like a month later.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the biggest things, the difference between like our live shows and the record.
Yeah.
Is I wrote the record, recorded the record, then got the band together. And then we did like everyone had their interpretation of the songs.
Yeah.
And now it sounds like not entirely different songs, but it definitely is different because we're confident in what we're playing and I'm confident in what I'm singing because we know the songs.
Yeah.
And I know the song because when I recorded the songs, I didn't even know the songs.
Yeah.
So I think
we'll separate the composition and the recording process.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. But that's a plan. I mean, sounds like a plan already.
I've thought about it.
Yeah. And so when you first rehearsed with the live band, how did you make sure that they won't use their talent to kind of ruin the simplicity of some of your songs? Because I think that's important to some of your songs, that they're not like played with jazz musicians who, whenever you stop singing, they'll be like, I have this little lick, I put it in there.
Yeah. Well, Fred was kind of limited because I wrote those bass lines, so they're not exactly, they're pretty simple.
It's nice actually that way. The limitations actually make it a lot easier to, you know.
So he didn't have much to work with, but he brought great tone, I think, was, you know, so he's never done anything. He's a really easy guy to work with, and Hayden, too.
Uh-huh.
Hayden's almost a little too good for his drum parts.
That's what I read, that you sometimes talk to Wes or Hayden.
Well, Wes is a different story. Like, I had to wrangle in Wes a little.
Yeah.
I definitely had many conversations with Wes about...
Don't play it too technically or something like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We still have that conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's gotten...
Come a bit closer, please, Wes.
It's gotten a lot better. I mean, Joe Cardamone playing guitar on the album, I actually... like tailored my whole setup to mimic the style of guitar played on the record and also have a hybrid of like things that I like to use too. So it's been like learning to play not well has been important.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It sounds stupid, like,
it's just not like technically like
to focus more on the noisy side of things and, you know, soundscapey side of things and less on
that. After like 20 years of digital production, one has to get the mistake back onto the record. I really think it's super important because those are the records that you're listening to for your entire life. You go back and you go, I've listened to that song for 1,000 times and there's a mistake in there.
Yeah.
I have never heard it, and now I'm listening to it again for 12 or 15 years.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's
a
difference to those maybe Nine Inch Nails songs that are compressed and they are quantized, you know, and you definitely know what's going to happen.
It's exciting
next.
When you hear that little snare mistake in the second verse, you know, you love that little moment.
Totally. Let's try and listen to some little mistakes in the following song.
There's a few.
Let's find out if there are some. Queen Kwong with Cold Daggers. Wir quatschen gleich noch ein bisschen weiter mit Carrie und ihrer Superband. Zwischendurch aber nochmal ein Song und dann verlosen wir Tickets für die Show heute Abend. Queen Kwong mit Cold Daggers auf Flux FM, ein weiterer Auszug aus ihrer Debütplatte. I'm sorry. Get a witness. So, I've read about your first shows, Carrie, which were like...
My name's Carrie. The first shows...
With Nine Inch Nails, right?
The first shows ever.
Yeah. I've read that you... got into a shitstorm kind of because Nine Inch Nails fans, they didn't all support your style and they didn't...
understatement.
Yeah. But how was that an advantage later on when you realized that maybe these experiences formed you as an artist? Because I think it's important to stand in front of a crowd, or to be able to stand in front of a crowd, or play in front of a crowd that doesn't like you and
not
be like,
care at all.
F you, this is my style and I'm going to play this show, whatever you think.
Yeah, I think that definitely reinforced. I already felt like that, but I think that definitely reinforced that attitude in me. But that was maybe one of the only advantages that came out of playing that show.
Yeah, but I wanted you to concentrate on that one advantage, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, and it was a huge advantage because no matter what, there's, you know, I've already experienced that and nothing can ever be like that. I'm not going to say bad because it wasn't bad, but nothing can be like... after you go through that, you can go through anything. Yeah. Let's just say that much.
Didn't they, like,
you toughened up.
Didn't they like give you in-ears and you'd never worn those before, and a guitar you weren't familiar with or something?
Yeah, oh no, that's hardcore though. Yeah.
No, I didn't even know that in-ears existed, and basically they gave me in-ears and Trent gave me one of his guitars to play, which was a Les Paul, and it was horrible. It was way too heavy. And and they had me go shopping with a stylist who put me in an outfit. And it was really weird. And then, you know, Atticus Ross, who works with Trent a lot, he programmed some drum tracks that, you know, it was to a click and I couldn't play to them.
Yeah.
And then I was thrown in front of many people. And it was really, really, yeah.
That's hell.
Yeah.
I thought it was just the fans, but it was Trent and his partners in crime as well.
Yeah, no, they were side stage giving me a thumbs up. And I was just nearly like at tears, you know, just like, oh, what the hell did I get myself into? Yeah. You know, the water bottle started flying and the... Yeah, but chanting,
the Nine Inch Nail fans, they're not the most tolerant crew.
No,
I
was the first thing they saw, I guess, in like 5 years, because I opened the With Teeth shows, the very first With Teeth shows, and he hadn't put out a record since The Fragile. Mm. So I was the very first thing they saw after many years of waiting for Trent Reznor.
It's hard.
Weren't excited.
But I've heard about Peaches opening up for him, and she got booed off the stage as well and stuff.
Nine Inch Nails fans.
He challenges the crowd because he's had TV on the radio open for him, and you could tell. I think they're getting used to it now. Yeah. He's going to push it a little bit with that.
Yeah, that's true. But with Marilyn Manson, it's quite similar, right? It's not too hard, not too easy to be opening up for Marilyn Manson, I think.
I can't imagine how anybody would have been able to.
Yeah.
It's a tough, tough crowd.
Ja, der Fred spielt nämlich auch bei Marilyn Manson. Ich habe ja gerade schon erzählt, dass die Band so eine Supergroup ist. Jeder spielt noch in so einer anderen Formation. I mean, it sounds silly, but I mean, it actually is a group.
It's literally
full of experienced guys and full of guys who play in very successful bands. Are you thinking about getting those guys into the studio with you for the next record, or will too many cooks spoil the broth?
Well, now that you put it that way.
Yes, I know. I don't want
to. We actually play a few songs in the set that aren't recorded.
Okay, cool.
So we're doing it like an EP.
Want to record an EP with these guys because there's songs I never recorded or released that I think these guys really brought to life that I'd like to release that we've been playing in the set. And then new material, I definitely want to record in a band setting. Like I said, I don't want it to just be me and like Joe playing everything. I think a lot of the energy that's in the band, you know, can't be... It's band energy, you know, it's like the live band energy.
Yeah, sure.
And I think we all have that and it works really well together. So I would definitely like them to be on the record.
Yeah, once you've felt that, right, you want to have it again and you want that energy to happen on your record as well.
And I think it's a really good like step in the right direction. I really am proud of this debut. I think it's like a polarizing kind of like, it's a good first impression, but I want to bump it up a notch. And I think... having the band in there would be
cool.
Awesome.
Wes and you've moved to Detroit together. How's that for creativity? How can we imagine you guys in Detroit? Is it a house, house?
You won't have to imagine because we did a TV show.
Oh, really?
Why are you
They did a TV show.
And that's called
Crazy.
Wes and Carrie living in Detroit, or what's the name of the show?
It's a renovation show.
Oh, cool.
It's a renovation show about us renovating
our house. I love those.
Me too.
I love renovation shows.
So buckle up because it's going to be silly.
And it's not been aired yet.
No, it's going to air in the spring.
Oh, lovely.
But living in Detroit has been great. We haven't been able to really do much of it because... we were doing the show for 10 weeks and then we've been on tour and he was on tour for 6 weeks. He hasn't been home in like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we haven't really been able to experience it so much, but the little parts we have experienced, we've really loved.
But is it an area where other houses still exist, or is it like super remote? Because there are areas in Detroit where it's like house and there's nothing.
Well, it's crazy about...
it changes block to
block. Yeah, street by street it changes. So it's crazy because our street is totally populated. Every house there's residents in, but then one street over... half the houses are abandoned.
Mm.
And,
burned down.
It must be. It must be a pretty inspiring area, though, of the United States.
It
really is.
Yeah, I've never been to a place like Detroit.
It's like a post-capitalistic kind of thing happening there,
it's
right?
It's like the city almost has a life of its own without even the people involved. It's just like the city's so strange and so alive. It's like there's packs of wild dogs running around.
Yeah.
There's like... just huge factories that are completely abandoned that you can just walk right into. Yeah. And go
abandoned
through.
Churches, so many abandoned churches, yeah. And just there's a lot of history.
I've just recently saw a series of photos that were made there, and it was really crazy, to look at these photos. So you've started working on new material already. We can expect you to be back pretty soon, or what's the plan?
We definitely are going to record an EP, hopefully, if all of our schedules work out, in January with these songs that we're playing in the set. And then I hope to be recording a new record in the spring so I could have it out by summer.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I want to wish you the best of luck for that.
Thank you.
What's up with the other bands? Can you tell us a little bit about Marilyn Manson? What's Avril Nation doing right now? What's with Limp Bizkit? Are there some news that we can talk about?
Yeah. Who?
No.
What was?
Oh, there are so many bands in here, actually. But maybe your mission right now is to...
They're all big machines that are functioning no matter what. They're all in their crazy world.
Yeah.
They're all in their crazy world.
They're all in their crazy world.
They're all in their crazy world.
But you guys seem to enjoy...
Those effers.
You guys seem to enjoy to tour with this project, right? It's like another Animals going back to the roots as well, kind of, for you, isn't it?
It's always more fun to build something than to keep something in the air.
Yeah.
You know, it's more fun to build something from the ground up. For me.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear
it's
you.
More hands-on and DIY and fun.
Cool. So I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show.
Thank you.
Have much more fun during the next few months together, and then record an EP, do whatever the plan is. And as soon as you visit Berlin, the next time you visit me again, we talk a bit more. We'll do a live performance, maybe.
We're coming straight to you.
That's okay. Let's bring some gear in here.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Und wer heute Abend vorbeigehen möchte beim Konzert von Queen Quang, der kann mich jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück, mein Kollege Uli Hefliger schreibt euch auf die Gästeliste. Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.